verses 1 through 14. The chapter title is Calculation of Time from the Atom. This is like very simple subject matter, so you'll all understand it. In context with the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam, perhaps you can remember from first canto Bhagavatam, chapter 13, there was a description of Vidura leaving the royal palace because he was insulted by Duryodhana. And he went on pilgrimage for purifying himself. And it says, while on pilgrimage he met Maitreya, and he inquired for Maitreya sufficiently to his full satisfaction and became fully realized. And then he came back to Hastinapur. So that's first canto. Then the beginning of the third canto, first chapter, Maharaj Parikshit says, no, Sutta, one or the other. Sutta, so the sages of Naimisharanya or Maharaj Parikshit? I think it's the sages of Naimisharanya saying, you spoke back in the first canto about Vidura on pilgrimage. Can you tell us about his pilgrimage? Mm. You say he met Maitreya. Ooh, he met Maitreya. Vidura is up there and Maitreya is really up there and their conversation must have been amazing. Can you describe that conversation? So this is the conversation. This is Maitreya and Vidura speaking. Maitreya is being asked to talk about Krishna. And he's being asked to talk about Krishna's pastimes. And one of Krishna's pastimes is, it's a pastime. He creates. He creates the cosmos. The cosmos is big. It's unlimited numbers of universes. Vidura is highly learned. It's not like Vidura never heard this before. He's not looking for information, looking for Maitreya's realization about this subject matter. And Vidura begins, there's several chapters before this one, where it's really wonderful. The description of Lord Vishnu lying on the bed of Anantashesh and enjoying with his internal potency, Rama Devi and Yoga Nidra. And the time energy is moving. So this is during the description is during the period of annihilation, cosmic annihilation. And in this chapter, it goes a little further and says, or the previous chapter, there are three different types of dissolution. It just cycles and cycles and cycles. The big cycle is the universe, the whole cosmos is created. Another cycle is the night of Brahma. Another cycle is the little things that we do regularly. Something is created, maintained, destroyed. Little living entities do little things and things are created and destroyed. The cycles of time. The time energy is moving. Everything is in an unmanifest state. The time energy is moving. The Lord is enjoying his transcendental yoga nidra. The time energy, he's not affected by time, but time is moving under his direction, and the time period for creation arises. So it describes that series of events. I'm not going to detail it. And then Vidura asks Maitreya, can you describe more about time? Like exhaustively? Like don't leave anything out? And time is as we know from Bhagavad Gita, there are five main subject matters in Bhagavad Gita, and the one that's spoken least about is time. Living entities, jivas, Ishvara, Prakriti, and karma. Lots about karma, lots about Prakriti, modes of nature, living entities, the controller of both. Very little is said about time. And it's a fascinating subject. It's a very deep subject. One of the last major undertakings that Sariputta took up before he left us was he dove deeply into the subject of time. He wrote a book about time. He made a PowerPoint presentation on time, lectures on time. Time is very fascinating. It's so fascinating that I don't know so much about it, but Einstein spent some of his, whatever you call it, his genius examining time, space, continuum, you know, theoretical physics. And what he said is very similar. It's related to, it's somewhat similar to what the Bhagavatam describes. That it's a simple principle is that you don't have creation without time. You don't have events of any kind without time. And creation is an event. You don't have events without time. What's the role of time? Brahma, who has one of those cycles, you know, the creation of the universe and then the nights of Brahma, there's a partial devastation. He has to recreate and recreate. He has to know how time works into all of this. We don't. We just like do stuff because we're in ignorance. We just do things. But time is acting. And time isn't just like, you know, it's 6:15 a.m. That's what time is. You know, if you're in another time zone, it's some other time. That's what time is. What is this essential component for creation? Time. So I'm going to read just a few things from the previous chapter. Reading from the purport of text, I'll read the verse and the purport of text 11. Maitreya said, eternal time is the primal source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. That's one thing that time does. There's the unmanifest state. Time enters. We discussed this a little bit last night, pradhan. Time enters along with living entities through the glands of Mahavishnu. Time starts interacting with the modes of nature because previously they're dormant. You can say asleep, but undifferentiated matter, Prakriti, and undifferentiated modes. Just kind of like hanging out, like a cloud. And time enters. The modes start to move or activate by that potency of the living entity and time. Time is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality Godhead for his pastimes in the material creation. So it's like remote control. The Lord is there, the energy is over there, the energy starts mixing. Purport. The impersonal time factor is the background of the material manifestation as the instrument of the Supreme Lord. It is the ingredient of assistance offered to material nature. Like, material nature, behind material nature, there's person. Chaya Devi. So she wants something to do. So Mahavishnu gives her something to do. The instrumental cause of giving her something to do is the time energy. Matter can't do anything just on its own. Modern science says otherwise. Vedic science says matter doesn't move without the touch of spirit, and then there's the touch of the Supreme Spirit by the instrumental cause of time, living entities, and the time energy. No one knows where time began and where it ends, and it is time only which can keep a record of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material manifestation. Keep a record. Like Chandragupta. You know, what are living entities up to? So it's causing, but it's also keeping track of. Like Adhyaksha, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. The verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that under my Adhyaksha, my supervision, all the moving and material nature is acting, and all moving and non-moving living entities. He does so effortlessly through this time energy. It's through time energy that the Lord moves matter and takes notation of everything. That's what's being said here. This time factor is the material cause of creation. Material cause of creation as opposed to the remote cause. The remote cause is the personality of Godhead. But he doesn't have to do anything. He does so through the agency of his potencies, Kala Shakti in this case. So it's the instrumental cause or the material cause. And it gets more differentiated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Upadan Maya and Pradan Maya, and won't go there. Or Nimitta Maya. And is therefore a self-expansion of the personality of Godhead. Time is considered the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord. That's one paragraph. Then the next paragraph, Prabhupada says, this has been spoken about in many religious scriptures. He speaks of the Hebrew scripture, where the Hebrew scripture says almost same, where in principle time is a direct expansion of the Lord. It's a representation and direct expansion. Here's the quote. I had some discussion with a Jewish scholar about this in Chicago suburbs, and he was like, wow, I want to read about this. Here's a statement right in Prabhupada's purport. In the Hebrew literature, time is accepted in the same spirit as a representation of God. It is stated therein, quote, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in the past unto the fathers by the prophets, unquote. Metaphysically, time is distinguished as absolute and real. Listen to this. Absolute time is continuous and is unaffected by the speed or slowness of material things. Time is astronomically and mathematically calculated in relation to speed. I'm reading this because that's what the next chapter is speed or time of atoms moving through space. Time is astronomically and mathematically calculated in relation to the speed, change, and life of a particular object. Factually, however, Time has nothing to do with the relativities of things. Rather, everything is shaped and calculated in terms of the facility offered by time. It goes on. It's like, these are like sutra-like things, and your head's spinning by the time you finish the paragraph. What just was talked about? And then he unpacks it. Like there's a whole chapter just to unpack that one little statement of relative. So the idea further described, here's the background. It's eternal time. And that which has no beginning and end, Kala Shakti, context, Prakriti, and activates, spirit activates matter, and there's modes of nature. And according to the karma of living entities, then they are awarded the reaction of their past karma in the form of a body. And depending upon the body that one receives, demigod's body, human body, animal body, tree body, insect body, you just keep going down, hellish planets. Time is relative. Time acts differently, depending upon the embodiment. And the embodiment, so you go backwards, the embodiment is according to one's karma. And the karma is then facilitated by guna. And so then we have, but you don't have events without time, so then there's a sense of time, but the background is eternal time. And the background of eternal time is the Supreme Lord. So we're way over here looking at, you know, now it's 6:24. And time is acting. And we know the measurement of time according to our embodiment. But it's part of it's a unit of illusion. Because really is there's eternal time. But because we're rebellious to the person who bears eternal time, the Supreme Lord, we want to be enjoyers of Prakriti. Like last night, you can't be. To have that sense of material activity, you have to have illusion. So, avidya shakti, that's another one of the Lord's potencies. Here, have some avidya shakti, Prabhu. Ooh. And I think I'm the enjoyer. And I need time and relative time. So Krishna consciousness, or the Bhagavatam, wants us to pay attention to the absolute truth, the source of everything, including the source of illusion. And this is like the anatomy of illusion. The different, like, you know, anatomy. Like inside, there's all these different parts. That's anatomy of a human body. So anatomy of illusion. And here's all the different parts, the components, and how they work together. So we may not be a medical practitioner. It's too, like, confusing. This is creation in its different parts. Whether it's this, how are time, because the Vedic picture of time is cyclical. But, you know, how does the unseen hand of the Lord work when things happen? Well, you don't see it. But it can be measured by the influence of time. It's really deep. So I'm not going to go through any more review, just to say that the different types of how time acts by the features of creation and destruction was how the previous chapter 10 concluded. Nine types I mentioned last night, nine types of creation. Five of them are what Lord Vishnu does four of them are what Brahma does, the sub-creation, and three types of dissolution. You know, destroying the whole creation, the night of Brahma, and the little destructions that we do every day. Do stuff and it, you know, comes into being and it goes out of being, things created and destroyed. And, you know, different cycles of, like, you know, building a house, and the house stands for a while and then it's destroyed after time. And civilizations and empires and, you know, different cycles of time. But little, those are little compared to the night of Brahma, which is little compared to the life of Brahma. And then there's a resting time of the cosmic manifestation, and then another, you know, life of Brahma. Just cycles of time. And it's an instrument of the all-powerful Supreme Lord. Prabhupada would quote, "Time and tide wait for no man." And it's like, you know, things. I was having this discussion with somebody. Someone was writing about indecision is another decision. The things that we need to do, but we're not sure, should it be this or should it be that? And while we're in this space of indecision, time is moving. And as time is moving, events are moving while we're indecisive. So what to do? Because, like, you know, the train's going to pull out of the station, we're still deciding. Life is going to be over. Well, we're still deciding. You know, different cycles of time. So we shouldn't be impulsive, we shouldn't be absolutely indecisive. But one of the factors that's moving everything is time. The purpose of this discussion, twofold. Think of Krishna. Think of Krishna. And another is, how wonderful is Krishna? I'll read the summary. In the purport of text 14, and I'll go back and read the verses 1 through 14. Here's a little summary statement. Purport to text 14. The subject matters of physics, chemistry, mathematics, astronomy, time and space dealt with in the above verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are certainly very interesting to students of the particular subject. But as far as we're concerned, we cannot explain them very thoroughly in terms of technical knowledge. The subject is summarized by the statement that above all the different branches of knowledge is the supreme control of Kala, the plenary representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing exists without him, and therefore everything, however wonderful it may appear to our meager knowledge, is but the work of the magical wand of the Supreme Lord, like hand, the unseen hand of the Lord, the magical wand of the Lord. Understand that this is a breakdown, the anatomy of how it works, but time is moving things. Maya Jakshena Prakriti. We may think that we're the doers. That's a foolish notion. We have a role to play, certainly, but we can't move things without time, the sanction of the Lord. So it's some appreciation of the greatness of the Lord in thinking of even, you know, the little everyday events that we do, or the bigger, however big you can think. The background is Kala, eternal time. That's an instrument of the Supreme Lord. Okay. Chapter 11, text 1 is now going to describe units of time and larger units of more, put some of them together, you get larger units of time and larger units of time and larger units of time. But the smallest unit of time is in relation to the smallest indivisible particle of matter. Kanada, does that name mean anything to you? Kanada. There's six...
Vanaprishis.
Yes. There are six, sometimes called darshans or doctrines, that analyze the Vedas. And they're impersonal. So we don't ascribe to them. But they're classical. What Prabhupada said is, these six are the foundation and there's nothing new. Somebody that says something today and they say it's new, it's not new. It's something that was there before. And they're just maybe saying it in a different, novel way. This thing plus that thing, you know, but it's a basic impersonal notion of explaining ultimate reality, because the Vedas are in pursuit of the ultimate reality. So this Kanada doctrine says the ultimate reality is the atom. It's not so dissimilar from another one. But it's, you know, the ultimate is atoms. And atoms getting together make life. And that's what life is. It's just a combination of atoms and there's nothing else. These verses seem to lend some weight to that. Except the Bhagavatam makes it very clear. Behind the atom is time. Behind time is the Supreme Lord. So, here we go. The material manifestation's ultimate particle, the ultimate particle is Parama Anu. Parama is supreme, and Anu means small, the smallest building block of existence is Parama Anu, the atom. The material manifestation's ultimate particle, which is indivisible and not formed into a body, that is to say, several of them together make bodies, you take one of them and it's not a body, it's just an entity, like a building block, the smallest thing, an atom. It exists always as an invisible identity, even after the dissolution of all forms. So, types of creations, types of dissolutions. During dissolution, what exists? The atom. So Kanata says, even in dissolution, there's atoms. In manifestation, there's atoms. All it is atoms are atoms. That's all there is. The material body is but a combination of such atoms, but it is misunderstood by the common man. Purport. The atomic descriptions of the Srimad Bhagavatam is almost the same as the modern science of atomism, and this is further described in the Paramanuvad, Parama-anu, the supreme smallest, Vada, doctrine, of Kanada, or Kanada. In modern science also, the atom is accepted as the ultimate indivisible particle of which the universe is composed. Srimad Bhagavatam is the full text of all descriptions of knowledge, including the theory of atomism. The atom is the minute, subtle form of eternal time. What does that mean? Minute, subtle form of eternal time. It's going to be said later. We'll say it again now. There's an inextricable relationship between time and space, just as Einstein said, between time and space, or time and matter, as matter moves through space, that's time. That's a measure of time, but time exists whether you measure it or you don't measure it. There's units. So, time. There's the unmanifest, and there's the manifest, and time makes things manifest, and time makes things unmanifest. And time gives you a sense of, now it's 6:38. It's like passage of time. So time and forms, or time and matter and its separated states before Brahma puts it all together, time is essential for creation, and time is essential for forms that are created. The atom is the minute, subtle form of eternal time. Text 2. Atoms are the ultimate state of the manifest universe. When they stay in their own forms without forming different bodies, they are called the unlimited oneness. Some people want to merge with that. It's atoms, units of matter, and time, subtle time. They are certainly different bodies. They are certainly different bodies in physical forms, but the atoms themselves form the complete manifestation, no purport. One can estimate time by measuring the movement of the atomic combination of bodies. Bodies means combinations of atoms. So you take some number of atoms together and then you have a body. Time is the potency of the Almighty Personality Godhead Hari, who controls all physical movement, although he is not visible in the physical world. No purport. Atomic time is measured according to its covering a particular atomic space. That time, which covers the unmanifest aggregate of atoms, is called the great time. Unmanifest aggregate of atoms is pradan. Pradan is the unmanifest, undifferentiated state of total prakriti. So there's small units and there's big units. The big units is great time, mahakala. Purport. Time and space are two co-relative terms. Time and space. Einstein. Time is measured in terms of it's covering a certain space of atoms. Standard time is calculated in terms of the movement of the sun. It's like, that's our basis. Standard. That's our basis. The time covered by the sun in passing over an atom. How long does it take for the sun to pass over an atom? Is calculated as atomic time, like they have atomic clocks. Yes? I don't know about them, but I've heard about them. The greatest time of all, this is this Mahakala again, covers the entire existence of the non-dual manifestation before there's duality, like day and night, and other forms of duality, because without time you don't have duality. So all the planets rotate and cover space, and space is calculated in terms of atoms. Each planet has its particular orbit for rotating, in which it moves without deviation, and similarly the sun has its orbit. The complete calculation of time, of creation, maintenance, and dissolution, measured in terms of the circulation of the total planetary systems until the end of creation, is known as the supreme kala, Mahakala, the great time. That's the biggest unit. Next verse, text 5. The division of gross time is calculated as follows. Two atoms makes one double atom. Three double atoms makes one hexatom. This hexatom is visible in the sunshine, which enters through the holes of a window screen. One can clearly see that the hexatom goes up toward the sky. Purport. The atom is described as an indivisible particle, but when six such atoms combine together, they are called a trasarenu, or hexatom. And this is visible in the sunshine pouring through the holes of a window screen. Okay. Next verse. The time duration needed for the integration of three trasarenus is called one truti. And 100 trutis makes one vedha. Three vedhas makes one lava. Lava mata sadasanga sarvasiddhi hoy. One fraction of a moment, one moment's association can bring all perfection, the association of a sadhu. Purport. It is calculated that if 1 second is divided into 1,687.5 parts, that's what, each part is of the duration of a truti, T-R-U-T-I, which is the time occupied in the integration of 18 atomic particles. Such a combination of atoms into different bodies creates the calculation of material time. The sun is the central point for calculating all different durations. Text 7. The duration of time of three lavas is equal to one nimesha. Where have we heard that phrase? The separation that... Huh? Yeah, say the verse. Do you know the verse? Jigayatam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayatam. This is Lord Chaitanya saying, in your absence for even one nimesha, it's like thousands of years. Because the intensity of attachment for Krishna is so great that not seeing you for one nimesha, it's too much. And that's three lavas. Is one nimesha. The combination of three nimeshas makes one kshana, K-S-A-N-A. Five kshanas combined together makes one kasta, and 15 kastas makes one lagu. Purport. By calculation, it is found that one lagu equals 2 minutes. There was some Chinese person made some like a use. I think it's some Google software to show size and time. And you go down, 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 down. You just go up and down. Like, you know, a Google map of looking at something, and you get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And then you get really, very... So, that's what this is doing. But it's not, you know, it's not with Google technology, it's Vedic wisdom. One magu is 2 minutes. The atomic calculation of time in terms of Vedic wisdom may be converted into present time with this understanding. Text 8. 15 lagus makes one nadikaha, which is also a danda. 2 dandas makes one muhurta. Muhurta is a measure of time. And it's something like 12 and a half minutes, something like that, one muhurta. And Brahma muhurta is when we're ideal time for our spiritual practice. 2 dandas makes 1 muhurta, and 6 or 7 dandas makes 1/4 of a day or night, according to human calculation. Here, this is interesting. Text 9. How do you measure a danda? The measuring pot for one nadi ka or danda can be prepared with a 14-ounce pot of copper or 6 pala weight, in which a hole is bored with a gold probe weighing 4 masa and measuring 4 fingers long. When the pot is placed on water, the time before the water overflows in the pot is called 1 danda. The Purport Prabhupada speaks about an hourglass. It's similar. You know. So, it is advisable herein that the bore, B-O-R-E, in the copper measuring, the copper measuring pot must be made with a probe weighing not more than 4 masa and measuring not longer than 4 fingers. This regulates the diameter of the hole. The pot is submerged in water, and the overflooding time is called a danda. This is another way of measuring the duration of a danda, just as time is measured by the sand in a glass. It appears that in the days of Vedic civilization, there was no dearth of knowledge in physics, chemistry, and higher math. Measurements were calculated in different ways, as simply as could be done. Text 10. It is calculated that there are 4 praharas, which are also called yamas, in the day, and 4 in the night of the human being. Similarly, 15 days and nights are a fortnight, and there are 2 fortnights, white and black, in a month. The aggregate of 2 fortnights is a month, and that period is 1 complete day and night for the Pita planets. Two of such months comprise 1 season, and 6 months comprise 1 complete movement of the sun from south to north. So you can start from that place and then go backwards, but this is starting from the other place and going forwards. 2 solar movements make 1 day and night of the demigods, and that combination of day and night is 1 complete calendar year for the human being. The human being has a duration of life of 100 years. No purport. Text 13. Influential stars, planets, luminaries, and atoms all over the universe are rotating in their respective orbits under the direction of the Supreme, represented by eternal Kala. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the sun is the eye of the Supreme, and it rotates in a particular orbit of time. Similarly, beginning from the sun, down to the atom, all bodies are under the influence of Kala Chakra, or the orbit of eternal time, and each of them has a scheduled orbital time of one Samvatsara. Samvatsara. It's in the Sanskrit of the verse. Samvatsara avasanena is by the end of 1 year. Anyway. Oh, there it is again. Samvatsara, the orbit of the sun. Oh, so that's the orbit of the sun is 1 year. One Samvatsara. Okay. The sentence again is, similarly, beginning from the sun down to the atom, all bodies are under the influence of the Kala Chakra, or the orbit of eternal time, and each of them has a scheduled orbital time of one Samvatsara. So as the sun moves, so the planets are also moving in a scheduled way according to the movement of the sun. Text 14. This is our last for this morning. There are five different names for the orbits of the sun, moon, stars, and luminaries in the firmament, and they each have their own Samvatsara purport. I read this before at the beginning, so I'll read it again. The subject matters of physics, chemistry, mathematics, astronomy, time, and space dealt with the above verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are certainly very interesting to students of the particular subject, but as far as we are concerned, we cannot explain them very thoroughly in terms of technical knowledge. The subject is summarized by the statement that above all the different branches of knowledge is the supreme control of Kala, the plenary representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing exists without him, and therefore everything, however wonderful it may appear to our meager knowledge, is but the work of the magical wand of the Supreme Lord. As far as time is concerned, we beg to subjoin herewith a table of timings in terms of the modern clock. So it's like a table of six things, one column, six things, another column, and down to the micro and goes up to one paksha or one fortnight. So you go, one fortnight is 15 days, and go down and down and down and down and down and down, and like the smallest unit is 8 divided by 13,500 of a second. They don't get smaller than that. So then the largest in that list of 12 is a fortnight, or a paksha. Two pakshas, two fortnights, comprises 1 month. And 12 months comprise one calendar year, or one full orbit of the moon, of the sun. A human being is expected to live up to 100 years. That is the way of controlling, that is the way of the controlling measure of eternal time. So time sets our life duration. And different embodiments have different life duration. Even like side by side with it, there's a little bug, and the little bug has their 100 years, their life cycle is different. And my life cycle, 100 years, is different. And the demigod's 100 years is different. like King Indradumna, when he went with Narada to invite Lord Brahma to come and install Lord Jagannath. What happened when he went there is so many... Lord Brahma was being entertained by some music and dancers, and they had to wait when they were finished. Can you come and install? And Lord Brahma just laughed. Do you know how many yugas have passed? Or, so if our embodiment goes to that place, time is still acting according to our embodiment, even we're in that place. Or Lord Brahma came here and he went and put the cowherd boys in a cave and he came back. And 1 year had passed. And so many pastimes in the course of 1 year. The cows had the chance of experiencing Krishna as their calf. The mothers had the chance of experiencing Krishna as their son for 1 whole year. Oh, but in Brahma's time, 1 moment. Short. So, your embodiment determines how you experience time. But it's all illusion. It's just a unit of illusion, because the reality is time is eternal. It's really fascinating. Like Prabhupada said, when you become Krishna conscious, it is as if a flash has passed, like inconsequential nothing. You know, that's the substance of illusion. I was discussing this with a devotee who is a medical doctor. He and his partner, who is an anesthesiologist, he was describing this to me, that the day previous to my having some dialogue with him, he was all day long in surgery. And he said, when the patient comes out of surgery and comes out of anesthesia, it's as if, you know, he said that I've had patients say, you know, doctor, when are you going to do this procedure? You know, it's been an all-day procedure and now it's over. There's no sense of passage of time. Anyone been under anesthesia and know what that's like? Prithushrava said he was under anesthesia. He had some, my godbrother had some tumor under his chin. And a long story. You know, he tried natural things to try to get rid of the tumor. It wouldn't go away, and then started to enlarge, so he had to have surgery. Surgery was completed. He was coming out of the anesthesia, and he had some fluids in his throat, and he started coughing, so they quickly administered more anesthesia so they could deal with that. So he was under anesthesia for something like a day and a half. And when he woke up, it was like nothing had happened. There was some pain, that was all. You know, pain. It wasn't the same pain, it was before the surgery. So there's no sense in that condition, susupti, there's no sense of passage of time. So, time is a unit of illusion, depending upon our guna and karma. We have this kind of body, chaturvarna maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagasya Krishna creates, and we're thinking, you know, I'm this kind of person, and it's illusion. It's not who we are at all, but you know, we're invested in it. We're invested in illusion. And then time allows us to do things. There's all these things. There's dravya, that's substance. There's kala, there's time. like, you know, the whole, it's like a child's romper room, a playroom. There's this toy, there's that, and they can just like just play forever. And time is passing, and they're enjoying. It has nothing to do with the soul. And adult life, it's the same program, just like so-called sophisticated illusion. And that's not the mission of life. The mission of life is realization of real identity. But we're under the influence of time, kala, we're under influence of avidya shakti, and there's all this romper room stuff to play with. And we're thinking, I'm going to have a career. I'm going to have a family, and I'm going to get a house, and I'm going to do all this stuff and be happy. It's all illusion. And time is a agent of the Supreme Lord for the rebellious living entities who want to pretend to be Purusha, the enjoyer of Prakriti. The unseen hand of the Lord is time. And it's like, you know, you can measure it. Down to like, you know, such small measurements, it's head spinning. And bigger, and just, you know, different cycles, different units of illusion. Different cycles of illusion. Creation, and it's the modes of nature acting. That's all that's going on. Passion creates, goodness maintains, ignorance destroys. You don't get events without modes of nature. You don't get the action of the modes of nature without time. It's really like cool. Krishna's creating illusion for living entities to try to imitate him, the enjoyer. So the solution is to not waste time in pursuing illusion, and instead to draw our attention to the Supreme and in the mood of serving the Supreme. And then when you're doing that, the passage of time is just, you just lose track of the passage of time. Instead of, you know, when am I going to finish my chanting? I've got to do some important things. It's, you just, you're chanting, it's, you're just absorbed. Time can do whatever it wants to do. Just, you're happy to be with Krishna. And you're not with Krishna. And one moment's not being with Krishna seems like, one nimesha seems like hundreds of years. It's a very profound subject that's being covered in these verses, and it's not easy to understand it. Not just because it's technical, but more so, frankly, because we're under illusion. It's not just an academic, you know, exercise. It's a devotional exercise to appreciate how wonderful is Krishna. So we'll end there, see if there's some questions. You have something? Sanjeev Kumar? No. Yes?
Just heard the mission of life is to realize our true identity. And when you're describing about the time, one side it makes sense that why to run around of trying to measure illusion. rather than trying to realize ourselves and realize how wonderful Krishna is. So, the application is that we want to chant and hear. It seems that even though when we are trying that, it seems to be that it's very far to realize our true identity.
This is the same message as the two questions last night on this topic. It's not like, that's not diminishing your statement, it's just like, that's a nice realization. And it's part of the stage of going from unsteady to steady devotion. Anishtata to nishtha. It's a credit to those who have that realization, that they're applying themselves to the process of bhakti to the point where they realize there's a higher reality, but at the same time the conditioning pulls them back to the illusory position and wishing to be situated in the reality. But the conditioning is very strong. That's the unsteady position. At one program at Champaign-Urbana, after, I can't remember what the topic was, it was kind of a general topic on Krishna consciousness, and afterwards a group of four students came right up and said, you know, one of them spoke first and said, I'm doing meditation. And from doing meditation, I'm getting this realization. And the realization is that there's another reality beyond all of this stuff. And it's so peaceful and so exhilarating, and I want to be in that consciousness all the time, but it's really hard to stay focused in meditation. You have any recommendation? And then another one of the students right away interrupted and said, I found this thing online, and they test your ears, and they find some particular vibration and give you like a little device and you put in your ears and helps you meditate. And then the first one said, oh, what's that? You know, quick, easy TV dinner or something. That's how people think. Without, you know, how did we get in this circumstance? What is the circumstance that we're in? Why is it difficult to meditate? Why? What is the cause of that unsteadiness when we want steadiness? It's our attachment to illusion, wanting to be the enjoyer of our particular brand of illusion. And that attachment to that enjoyment of our brand of illusion holds us from reality, that higher consciousness, even we know that it's there. So we continue to practice with faith, and gradually cleansing, realization, application, continuing with the process. The more we faithfully and attentively, devotionally, with gratitude exercise the process, then we get closer to reality and further from illusion. And time starts acting differently. Anything else? No? Yes?
thinking is time acting according, does it act according to embodiment or does it act according to the particular planet one is situated in? Because like the movement of the sun and the day and the night seem to be specific for each planet.
Well, the movement of the sun is unchanging for those of us who are here on Earth, and those of us who, those supposing someone goes to the heavenly planets. So, yeah, like Krishna and Arjuna went to the abode of Vishnu to get back the sons of the Brahmana, because Mahavishnu wanted to see Krishna, so he knew how to do it. So they didn't age beyond what their, you know, whatever the passage of the movement of the sun, but in that, in the higher realms, it's, you know, the sun doesn't, its orbit doesn't change, but its effect, the effect of time on embodiment, is according to the location. That's my understanding anyway. Like this example of Indradumna Maharaj going to Brahma Loka. When Brahma came down, he didn't, you know, age like in a location. Indra lasts for one manu duration. So if Indra comes and does something on this plane, he doesn't age like those who are on this plane, because the sun is moving in a certain orbit for this plane. He's Indra for the duration of manu's existence. And then another manu, another Indra. According to embodiment, as far as I can understand. Anything else? So, you had your hand up?
It's already answered.
Okay.
Like to the human eye, we are calculating the measurement of the atom, like its size or whatever. Yeah, according,
we can't see an atom, but go ahead.
Yeah,
but you said according to our eye.
Yeah.
According to our eye, we can't see an atom.
We can see, but for our knowledge,
for by this calculation, okay.
To our existing calculation.
Okay.
The atom that we talked about right now is much smaller, or you cannot even calculate that size, or is it a similar atom that
yes.
we...
Yes. Not much.
You explained about the time is a unit of the illusion. I was perceiving myself with different upadhis. How does it relate to time? Like, some time ago I was feeling handsome, so like, and meaning like, so how to keep this illusion completely aside?
By being Krishna conscious. Checkmate. By letting go of the illusion and accepting the reality. And the reality is Krishna consciousness. In summation, we're not this upadhi, we're Krishna's tiny part and parcel, his servant, eternally. Not sometimes. Always was and always will be and is now. That's our identity. So embracing that identity and acting in that consciousness, then the time and upadhis don't act on us in the same way. And if we abandon that spiritual conception, then we're moved by time and those designations. And we can go back and forth. Krishna gives us that, some freedom. We can be surrendered and then we can be complacent. We can be attentive and then we can be inattentive. So best to not be inattentive. Shila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sorry, Srila Rupa Maharaj.
Yeah.